We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show.
Got the cameras, I'm out the
f***ing camera. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club
with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
And Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, USA. Angela Yee's out. Charlamagne, what's popping?
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday.
Look at you. You confused. You didn't even know what day it was. You was about to say.
I did. I had to think about what day it is because I'm like, okay, wait a minute. What day was I here? I was here what day? Monday?
Monday and Tuesday. You dipped out Tuesday early.
Monday and Tuesday. Okay, so I was here Monday and Tuesday. I dipped out early Tuesday. I missed hump day. Okay, so yes, today is Thursday. Today is Thursday, right?
Yes, it is. Today is Thursday.
All right. Today is Thursday. And we gotta, today is one of the
special announcement. I was going to say. Go ahead. Explain what you were doing.
Well, I don't know if it's a special announcement.
I think it's pretty big.
Today is one of those days on The Breakfast Club. I need all of y'all to gather around and listen to what I'm about to say. I had the opportunity to sit down with Mr. Travis Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Say that, I'm letting that sink in for a second. I had the opportunity to sit down with Mr. Travis Scott, and we discussed the tragedy that happened on November 5th at Astroworld in Houston, Texas,
mm-hmm.
and also how he wants to help in making sure this never happens again. I think that's all I'm going to tell you about the conversation, because I would rather you hear the conversation. And that's what's going to happen at 7 a.m. this morning on The Breakfast Club. Travis Scott in conversation with me, Brother Lenard McKelvey, Charlamagne Tha God.
That's
so
right.
7 a.m. Tune in. Gather around your radios.
Tell a friend to tell a friend. 7 a.m. this morning, Travis Scott will be joining us. Charlamagne got a chance to fly out to L.A. and chat it up with him. So we're going to play that at 7 a.m. All right.
Yes.
So tell a friend, tell a friend,
yes.
Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. All right. Now, Angela Yee is not
join
here.
Us.
So
7 a.m.
Oh, then after the interview, we're going to take some calls because I haven't heard it. Of course, you guys haven't heard it. So let's talk about it after as a community. All right. So we'll play it at 7 and then we'll take some calls right after. All right,
that's right. We're just discussing the tragedy that happened on November 5th at Astroworld in Houston, Texas, and you know how we, like I said, how he'll be helping to make sure that never happens again. So join us 7 a.m. Travis Scott in conversation with myself, Charlamagne Tha God, on The Breakfast Club.
Now up next, we got front page news. LAPD saying, "Don't come out here. You don't want to come out here. This is not where you want
to
be. Don't you bring your ass out here." LAPD
I'm
is saying
to tell
that.
You.
We'll tell you why when we come back, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now on Thursday Night Football, tonight the Steelers take on the Vikings at 8:20 p.m. So definitely check that out. Now, Serena Williams, she will not play in the Australian Open. She says she's not where she wants to be physically, so she is not going to be playing.
Serena Williams can do whatever she wants at this point in life. She's the undisputed GOAT. Nobody can ever take that away from her. Regardless of what she ever chooses to do, she's going to wake up Serena Williams every single morning. So,
all right.
The next time we get blessed by her presence on the tennis court is the next time we get blessed. And if we don't, it don't matter. She's still the GOAT.
Now, in some dope news, Tiger Woods and his son are playing in the PNC Championship. Now, the PNC Championship is a 20-plus golfers, majors champion. It's like a family's compete, so it's a doubles tournament. So Tiger will be playing with his son, which I think is dope. Now, also, at least...
I thought Tyler retired, though.
He's playing with his son. Now, some scary news. At least 12 major U.S. cities have already set historical murder numbers in 2021, and there's 3 weeks left. They said Philadelphia is the nation's sixth largest city, recorded 523 murders. Last year was 500. They said it's very nasty out there. They said Rochester's up 71, Louisville 175, Austin, Texas 60, Indianapolis 247, Columbus 179, Minnesota 35, Portland 72, Arizona 80. These are all highs, record highs in these places.
You know what's crazy, man? You know, just when you come from a certain environment and, you know, even though I'm not outside anymore, but, you know, at one period I was outside, we've been saying that. You can feel how bad it is.
It is bad.
You can feel how bad it is throughout the country. Like, you can feel it. Like, we always say that, man. It's bad outside. Protect yourself. Watch your back. Yada, yada, yada. And look.
No, it's probably some of the worst that I've ever seen it. And it's when police officers are telling you don't go out, then you know not to go out. And that's what happened in L.A. Can we play the audio?
The ACLU advocated for Proposition 47, which changed the sentencing guidelines. So right now, you can literally go out, do whatever you want, commit crimes, and you'll be out faster than the officers can finish the report. And that's a fact. It's sad to say, but it's almost safer to hang out with Alec Baldwin on a movie set than to go shopping in Los Angeles right now. That's how crazy it is. It is so violent. We're telling people don't visit because we don't think we can keep you safe right now. And in fact, Los Angeles is like the movie Purge, but instead of 24 hours to commit your crime, they have 365 days to go out and commit their crimes.
Now, that was somebody on the LAPD. Now, could you imagine if the LAPD, the people that are supposed to be protecting the citizens, are saying, don't come out here because we can't protect you. That's wild.
I was just in L.A. on Wednesday. And you know what's crazy? Security guards and, you know, other folks I know, they were telling us the same thing. They didn't say don't come to L.A. They just said that, you know, when you come out here, you know, make sure that you are secured, because the area that one person patrolled in particular, really nice area of L.A., they was like, yo, every day it's some type of home invasion or a break-in, that somebody's getting hit up, like, every day.
Right. And they were saying private security in L.A. are on the rise like crazy. They said usually where people wouldn't have security, now they're having 2 and 3 guards when they go out, and also just securing their home. So they're saying be extra careful. If you have ADT, if you have a home system, make sure you put it on. A lot of us have it, and then don't put it on or forget to put it on. You have to put on your system. And you got to protect your house, protect your family, protect your valuables at all times. Just be safe.
Yep.
All right. Well, that is front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open again. 800-585-1051. Hit us up right now.
Also remember, 7 a.m.
That's right.
I'll be in conversation with Travis Scott, okay, here on The Breakfast Club. Travis Scott in conversation with myself, Charlamagne Tha God. So tune in at 7 a.m.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
It's Twin, man, calling from Florida.
Twin, what up? Get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, man, I just want to get off my chest, man. This may sound crazy to you, man, but I feel like Biden been in office, man. The economy done began worse. When Trump was in office, it seemed like it was flowing a little bit more better, man. We had more money in our pocket. Now I seem like, man, we kind of like, you know, it's a struggle out here now.
I think that might actually be a fact, but I also think that was because of, you know, COVID. The economy was stronger, but also when COVID happened, you know, all the unemployment hit the street and the PPP loans and everything else.
Like even when COVID hit, man, Trump had a little stumbling check. They were coming out. We getting a little $250 a month. Trump was trying to give a boy some bread, man. We were eating. Now it's like gas prices don't went up. Everybody high. It seemed like, man, the economy just don't got worse as Biden got in. And I'm not a Trump supporter, but bro, he had the economy flowing though, man. I'm gonna keep it real.
Okay, I kind of feel you. I see where you're coming from. I don't know the facts though, but I feel it though.
I feel it too, man. I feel it big time, bro.
All right, thank you, brother.
Yeah, I don't know the facts of that. I mean, I get the feeling though. The feeling do feel like that.
Mm-hmm. Hello, who's this?
Yeah, DJ Envy. This is Uber Mike Dallas. How you doing?
Uber Mike, what's popping? Get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, how y'all doing, man? I just want to congratulate y'all for 11 years, man. I'm so thankful for you guys. I've been listening to you guys for 6 years straight. And then last thing, there was a young lady that called yesterday that drives for Uber as well, and she's talking about the lights being on the houses when she pull up. Mm-hmm. Can I send
it's
one
Christmas
donkey to some of the, huh?
No. It's she Christmas. Was she called yesterday because she was saying people don't have their numbers on their house, and if their numbers are on the house, they don't have it lit up, so it's hard for them to find the right house.
Okay, yeah, the way he worded it, he was like, when you pull up to the houses be lit up. I'm like, it's Christmas.
Nah, what you say now, brother?
I need to get up with her because there's another thing a lot of these parents are doing. They're sending their kids with Uber ride to school, minors, and I have to keep turning these kids away because you cannot ride with these minors. So that's another thing that we're running into as well, driving in the morning.
I ain't gonna lie. I had to do that once or twice before Logan got his license. Let's say somebody will. And many times Uber drivers were nice enough to drop him off at high school. But he got his license now, so he's good money.
How old is he?
Now he's 18. But this is when he was 16. Eight.
Okay, that's kind of good. But you got 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds trying to ride.
That's wild. Nah, that's too young. And 16 was 16.
For insurance purposes, these parents need to know that if something happens to their kid, insurance-wise, they're not going to cover it. So correct. That's why it's important. But, yeah. So
all
I love
right,
you guys,
thank you, brother.
Man. Keep doing what you're doing, man.
All righty, brother.
Peace, King.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Miss B calling from Harlem. Hey, Envy, Charlamagne the God. I'm sorry.
Good morning, Miss B.
I love the energy. What's up?
Oh, my goodness. I have two things to say. I cannot wait to hear this interview. So I am a mother first, and I love my kids. I am an educator second. And in my spare time, I supervise beverage booths at different music festivals to raise money for organizations like the New York Urban League, Thurgood Marshall, Young Faces Smiling. I'm all in. I love music and I love people, but there are two things I want to say. Parents have to be held accountable. I see these kids going crazy at Made in America. We couldn't sell Red Bulls anymore in our booth because these kids would mix the drinks. They would take drugs. They have fake IDs. And I see some parents and they look at these kids at the music festivals and they let the kids go buck wild. My heart breaks for all the victims of Astroworld. If this had happened at one of my shows, I would have been devastated. I also want to give praise to all of the volunteers, the CSC, the Citadel, all the volunteers that make these shows happen. We don't give volunteers enough credit. I've seen all of these kids bombard the gate and don't give a damn about the safety of others. So one, parents, we have got to be held accountable. If you're sending your kids to these music festivals, go with them. Have a good time and make sure that they're safe. And kids, trust me, I'm an educator. I tell my kids every day, cut it out. It doesn't make sense to just have likes on your social media just because you're acting wild and crazy. I don't know exactly what happened.
You're right.
And like I said, my heart breaks for this after all the victims. But we have got to hold these parents and these kids accountable. Trust me, I cannot wait for this interview. I just want to thank you guys, Charlamagne.
7 a.m.
Oh, my God, your healing energy just is infectious. And let me just tell you this last thing. I'm so invested in you guys. When I don't hear you guys come on cue with that, good morning and yo, I'm like, oh, my God, where are they now this morning?
Well, thank you so much.
Why aren't they here? I
love you guys.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. We appreciate you so much. Thank you.
And like you said, this morning at 7 a.m., Travis Scott will be joining the Breakfast Club. Charlamagne got a chance to sit down with him one-on-one. So we're going to get that on at 7 a.m. So definitely tune in. And thank you for listening, Mama.
Yes. That's all we're talking about, the tragedy that happened on November 5th at Astroworld in Houston, Texas. And how, you know, how Travis wants to help in making sure that never happens again. But she brings up a very good point about, you know, human behavior, which is something we discuss. So tune in, 7 a.m.
Remember with Rolling Loud, when my kids went to Rolling Loud, I sent them with a chaperone. I sent them, my kids were mad, but I'm like, no, I need to send y'all with something to make sure y'all act right. And that's what we got to do sometimes.
But by the way, it's still by the grace of God that, you know, nothing happened. Because, sadly, there was, you know, kids out there with their parents. That perished at Astroworld. So.
All right. Let's go to another caller. Hello, who's this?
This is David Wright coming from Dayton, Ohio.
David Wright, what up? Get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, I was just calling to let y'all know, man, that, the city is bad and everything. Like, I'm coming from Dayton, Ohio, and I heard that you said that Columbus is one of the top places of the murders, man. It hit hard because it's close to home, man. That's why I participate in Mixed Martial Art, man, on YouTube. Guns down, gloves up, man. Show these kids, man, instead of pulling up a gun, you got to hold your ground. You can always, you know, pull up your fist and do what needs to be done.
All right. Well, thank you, brother.
Listen, we've been saying it. We've been telling our loved ones. We've been telling our friends. It's bad out here. When you come from a certain environment and you say that, I don't know how else to relay that to people. That element is out here. All right. Look alive. Keep your head on the swivel. Protect yourself at all times.
All right. Well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Now, when we come back, we got your rumor report. We'll tell you about the most powerful woman in the world. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk the world's 100 most powerful women.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right. Now, we're talking about the world's most powerful women. Now, Charlamagne Tha God, who do you think number one is?
Number one in the world?
Yes.
It would have to be between Vice President Kamala Harris, only because of the position, and I don't know who would be number one.
You're wrong. It's
Mackenzie
Scott.
Vice President Kamala Harris would be one.
No, Mackenzie Scott.
Mackenzie Scott.
She's the ex-wife of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. She's worth $59.2 billion. Dollars. She's a philanthropist.
They base power off money?
Not necessarily, because Kamala Harris is number two.
So what makes McKenzie more powerful than Vice President Kamala Harris, who's the Vice President of the United States of America?
I don't know. But
I don't know what the criteria is. I'm not even joking. If it was about money, I wouldn't have thought power and money, even though it does equate, but I just wouldn't have thought Mackenzie Scott would be number one.
Well, she's number one. Oprah Winfrey is number 23 on the list. All right. Now, Rihanna, what do you think Rihanna falls on this list?
If Oprah is number 23, I mean, Rihanna got to be. I don't know. I would think she would be under that.
Rihanna's number 68. Yes, Rihanna's number 68. Beyonce's number 76. Ava DuVernay is number 80. Taylor Swift is number 78. Serena Williams is number 85. And who else do we have on this list? And that's all I see.
You're also asking me these questions with no context. You're not giving me no context of what the criteria is that equates to this power. When you just asked the initial question, I'm just thinking, you know, the Vice President of the United States of America is a woman, so I would think she would be number one, but I guess not in this world we live in.
Well, this is according to Forbes, the most powerful women. So this is not my segment. I don't do rumors. I'm just telling you the stuff that they tell me, all right? You want me to be honest or not?
All right, I will say, though, I can honestly say that every other woman you named on that list, I know what those women are doing with their power.
Correct.
I don't see Vice President Kamala Harris doing anything with hers.
Ooh, I like that. Ooh, salty.
What is that, a ooh? That's not a ooh.
That's
not salty.
That's a little side-eye.
That's an observation.
Ooh. All right, now, Now, shout out to Nori, N-O-R-E, and Drink Champs. You know, Nori will have his cars at my car show this Sunday. Shout out to N-O-R-E. Now, Alicia Keys was on there, and they spoke about the time when they performed at the VMAs, and somebody popped on that stage, Little Mama.
How mad was you at Little Mama when she f***ed up your performance?
All right. All I know, uh-huh. was on that stage. In my head, I was such a gorilla at the time. Mm. I was like, this is what's happening. I'm going to destroy this record tonight. Uh-huh. That's uh-huh. all I had in my head. Somehow, however she got over here, I didn't even bear witness to the whole show. I was so focused on making it amazing. I went backstage and Jay was like, so you ain't see that?
And I was like, what?
And he was like, no, you ain't just see what just happened? And I was like, yeah, we killed it. That's what just happened.
Yeah, so she was so in her zone, she didn't even see Lil Mama, huh?
Jesus Christ. I mean, I get it because it's history and it's Alicia's story to tell. But that has to be hard for Lil Mama to keep hearing about. Like folks love to reduce us to you know, our so-called worst moments, you know, our mistakes. So that's got to be hard for her to hear about.
It was kind of funny, though. And also, Alicia Keys, she had a sit-down with Speedy, and she talks about Swizz wasn't really her type at first.
The whole, I can write music in 10 minutes, like the show wall, all of that. I was just like, ugh, no. It's not even it. That's not even my vibe. But what I realized was, I actually didn't know him. And I think a lot of times we're judging people by who we think they are. Like, you know people from what they share or from what gets covered by what they share.
I mean, that's absolutely positively true, right? When dealing with people, sometimes you only see what people think they are, but you don't really get to know somebody until you get an opportunity to spend some time with them, right?
Especially in this era. This era is all about perception and not what actually is. Which is so strange to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, Nick Cannon, he was very thankful for all the love. If you haven't heard, his son, Zen, passed away on Sunday. He announced it on his show Tuesday, and yesterday he was talking about all the love he received.
I'm grieving. I feel guilty for so many levels. I never wanted to exploit this. I kept it private for so long since I found out about Zen's diagnosis and, you know, in respect to his mother, Alyssa, and to everyone in our family. And so for yesterday, the onslaught of really love, you know, and care, and you got that. But it's brand new to me, so I'm dealing with it. So thank you. Thank you. That's all I can say. But it's new. I'm not used to all of this hugging and you okay? I'm fine. But of course, everyone knows that I'm not fine. But you guys are making me feel better.
Yeah, I seen Nick yesterday. I gave him a big hug. Told him I love him yesterday, and you know, couldn't imagine. So I just want to say salute and shout to Nick Cannon, man.
Yeah, same. Sending healing energy, you know, to my good brother, Nick Cannon. And you know, listen, man. Sometimes staying busy is a trauma response. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody, you know, unpacks their traumas in different ways and deals with their trauma in different ways and heals in different ways. So, you know, I'm just sending my brother healing energy. That's all.
Absolutely. All right. And definitely check out Nick Cannon's show.
And also, I don't want to. He wouldn't have been exploiting that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? If he came in to his TV show and spoke about it, that's his story to tell. And I mean, absolutely. Sometimes when we in front of these microphones and we have these platforms, you know, that is our way to get things out. Because it's hard to do this job. And, you know, you got your own issues. So that's absolutely. Why, you know, even here, we, you know, we share so much of what we go through. So he wouldn't have been exploiting it if he came on and told everybody, you know, what him and his family was dealing with in regards to Zen. So, nah.
Absolutely.
I don't like that language he used.
And I would tell everybody, if you haven't seen his show, definitely go check out his show. The brother's good at his show. The brother does an amazing
100%.
Show. I was on there yesterday. So shout to Nick Cannon. All right. And that is your rumor report. Now, when we come back, front page news. L.A., they say don't come. Don't bring your ass. We'll tell you all about it and more. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Novartis created the More Than Just Words initiative to raise awareness about racial disparities in breast cancer care. To learn more about what More Than Just Words hopes to accomplish and hear a talk with Grammy-nominated R&B artist Jasmine Sullivan, visit morethanjustwords.us.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now on Thursday Night Football, the Steelers take on the Vikings today at 8:20 p.m. All right, so definitely check that out if you're an NFL fan. Now, also, L.A., they're saying, don't come, we can't protect you. That's what LAPD is saying. Let's play the audio.
The ACLU advocated for Proposition 47, which changed the sentencing guidelines. So right now, you can literally go out, do whatever you want, commit crimes, and you'll be out faster than the officers can finish the report. And that's a fact. It's sad to say, but it's almost safer to hang out with Alec Baldwin on a movie set than to go shopping in Los Angeles right now. That's how crazy it is. It is so violent. We're telling people don't visit because we don't think we can keep you safe right now. And in fact, Los Angeles is like the movie Purge, but instead of 24 hours to commit your crime, they have 365 days to go out and commit their crimes.
That's scary.
Everybody wants to be a comedian. And I mean, listen, the Alec Baldwin situation was an accident. Like, what's going on in L.A. is intentional. Like, these people are intentionally committing these crimes against individuals. Unless that LAPD police officer knows something about the Alec Baldwin situation that we don't. But Either way, we've been telling y'all, it's crazy outside. And it's not just L.A., by the way. It's everywhere.
It is everywhere. Now, also, the Kim Potter trial is starting today. Do you remember Kim Potter?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the officer.
I hate to say it because it sounds like everything else. The officer who shot a black person, right?
Yeah, shot a black person. Remember, she thought she was reaching for the taser and then reached for her regular gun and actually shot him. So That trial is today. Now, that is the same place where the Derek Chauvin, what's his name? Chauvin? I can't remember his name. Nor do I care to. That's where his trial happened. It started yesterday, actually. And we have some audio to fill you guys in.
Jesus.
Now that was the actual audio.
Why are we playing that?
Just so you guys can remember. Now her attorney is saying it was an accident. It wasn't her fault. It was an accident. Do we have that from yesterday's case? From yesterday's
trial? This was an accident. She's a human being. If she does nothing, Mr. Wright drives away and either substantially harms Sergeant Johnson, or likely he kills him.
Well, even admitting there's consequences to malpractice, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So certain people aren't allowed to make those kind of mistakes.
No, and, not at all.
Whatever. So even if the lawyer is saying it's an accident, which I doubt it was, it's still got to be consequences and repercussions to that malpractice, I would think.
Yeah. I agree. And it was a traffic stop. They said he had something on his rear view mirror hanging. It was something very small. But that brother lost his life.
Dante Wright was the brother's name.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Rest in peace to Dante Wright. Sending healing energy to his family, because I know that trial starting yesterday, you know, is causing a lot of problems for them. So salute to sending healing energy to his family.
All right. Well, that is your front page news. Now, when we come back, Charlamagne yesterday got a chance to sit down with Travis Scott.
Yeah, you know, got a few calls from a few of my folks that, you know, Travis Scott wanted to talk. And, you know, he wanted to talk publicly to discuss the tragedy that happened on November 5th at Astroworld in Houston, Texas. And also how he's going to help, you know, make sure this never happens again. So, you know, I'm not going to talk too much about it. I'm going to let y'all hear for yourself.
All right. And we're going to take your calls after it. So we're going to talk about it as a community. 800-585-1051. Get on the phone calls after you hear this interview, while you're listening to the interview. And we're going to get that on next. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
All heard about the Ye and Drake benefit concert in L.A. tonight. But also Prime Video and Amazon Music will exclusively live stream the show. You can start the live stream at midnight for free on Prime Video or Amazon Music. Ye has dedicated the benefit concert to raising awareness of the need for prison and sentencing reform, with a portion of the proceeds going to a nonprofit advocates. The two-hour performance, hashtag Free Larry Hoover Benefit Concert, will also be available on demand on Prime Video following the live stream event. Watch tonight on Prime Video. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne yesterday got a chance to talk with Travis Scott.
Yeah, this happened on Wednesday. You know, I got a couple calls from a few folks, and they were like, you know, Travis Scott, you know, wants to sit and have a conversation with you, you know, to discuss the tragedy that happened on November 5th at Astroworld in Houston, Texas. And that's what we did. And also how he wants to, you know, help make sure this never happens again.
All right. Well, we're going to get into that next. And we're going to take your calls after this, too. So let's listen as a community. And you got questions, whatever you feel like you want to talk about after this interview, you can call us up, 800-585-1051. Ladies and gentlemen, Travis Scott.
Travis Scott, what's up, brother?
What'd it do?
How you feeling?
You know, I've been on about, like, different type of, like, emotions, you know. Emotional roller coaster, I mean. It gets so hard because I always felt like connected with my fans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went through something, you know, and I feel like fans went through something and people's parents went through something. And it's, you know, it really, you know, it hurts. It hurts the community. It hurts a city. And it's just been a lot of thoughts, you know, a lot of feelings, a lot of grieving. And just, you know, trying to get you to wrap my head around it, you know. Mm-hmm. I really just really wanted to be there. And just, you know, wish you could just kind of like hold everyone, you know, kind of just heal them, talk to them, have conversations. You know, it just, you know, it really just hurts, man.
Well, what's your intention with this conversation? Like, what do you hope to get out of this? Or what do you hope to get out?
I don't personally have an intention. I just feel like something happened and I feel like it's just, I needed just a way to kind of like communicate, you know. Mm-hmm. The families are grieving, you know. It's fans that experienced something. It's fans that came to a show, you know. And I feel like I just have like I've always been that person to always see things through mm-hmm. with the people that shared experiences with me. And, you know, it just, things happen. And, you know, I just kind of, you know, it's been such a time and I've just been trying to just really figure things out, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you experienced any remorse, but was there any hesitation to have this conversation because of the litigation you may be facing?
Well, I mean, yeah, of course you got people that's just like, oh, what? Like, you know, but it's not about that. You know, you're an artist, you whoever people think you are, but at the end of the day, you're a human being, you know, mm-hmm. And you have emotions. You want to communicate them emotions, you know. And trying to find the best way to communicate.
How have you been coping with the aftermath of everything? Just emotionally, just you as a human.
I've been just in a room for a while, you know, a lot of thoughts, and luckily, you know, you have people around that can, you can kind of bounce ideas, but it just been, you know, I've been doing this for such a long time, and, you know, nothing like this ever happened, you know, so it just kind of like, you just kind of figuring out, and at the end of the day, like, these fans are your family, so you just mm-hmm. feel like you lost something, and you just, you do these shows, honestly, to, you know, for people to have the best experience, you know, and mm-hmm. just to think that something like this happened, you're just trying to figure out, you know, just wrap everything around. And so even just for the first couple weeks, you know, it was just me sitting down, but I had to really channel these emotions to just remember, like, you know, if no one's going to be a voice for these people, I got to, like, kind of step up and kind of, like, be a voice to just figure out that, you know, this isn't happening in the future, just shows, period. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or figure out the bottom solution of what's going on and just try to ensure people, you know, safety and what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, you said you was in the room, but then people saw you at the golf course.
Yeah,
with Michael Jordan, yeah. Mark Wahlberg. What was that?
It was just Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were there. You know, it was just good people to have around in the community. And, you know, that was just more like a personal time, just trying to get around. I think, like, some fan came and asked for a photo.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Now, let's talk about that night, man. When did you find out things got as bad as they did? Now, that's the question everybody wants to know.
Yeah, it wasn't really until, like, minutes until, like, the press conference until I figured out exactly what happened, mm-hmm. you know? Even after the show, you know, you're just kind of hearing things. But you don't know. I didn't know the exact details until, you know, minutes before the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that moment, you kind of just like, wait, you know, what? Like, you know, you just went through something and it's just like, wait, what? You know.
So you didn't know people that actually passed away and stuff?
Nah.
Wow.
Until minutes before, you know, mm-hmm. which is, you know, and at the thing is, like, you know, people pass out, you know, people, you know, things happen at concerts. But something like that, it's just like.
Yeah, people said they collectively heard folks screaming help every time you stopped the song to get your attention. Did you hear any of those screams?
Nah, man. And you know, it's so crazy because I'm that artist too. Like, you know, anytime you can hear something like that, you want to stop the show. You want to make sure, you know, fans get the proper attention they need, you know. And anytime I could see anything like that, I did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I stopped like a couple times to just make sure everybody was okay. And I just really just go off the, you know, the fans' energy as a collective, mm-hmm. you know, call and response. And I just didn't hear that. You know, mm-hmm. I got music, I got my in-ears, but I just didn't hear that, you know.
Break that down a little more. Like, nobody knows what it's like being on stage except for other artists. So speak to us from that perspective of what you can see in here. It was like, what, 50,000 people?
Yeah, I mean, you got like a venue, you know, filled with like 50,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a sea. You got lights, you got sound, you got pyro, you got your in-ears, you got your sound, got your mic, you know, got the music, you got band, just all type of, you know, stuff going on.
So it's hard to tell excitement from danger, so to
speak?
Yeah,
of course. Everything mm-hmm. kind of just sounds the same. And at the end of the day, you just hear music,
mm-hmm.
you know? And when you do, you just hear amongst of things, you know, but you just, when you're in a show, you just enter the show, and anytime you can feel anything close to you, you know, you try to like definitely get to that.
So as an artist, how much can you actually, I guess, help in that position?
You can only help what you can see, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, whatever you told, you know what I'm saying? Whenever somebody tell you to stop, you just stop. But just wasn't it.
It wasn't that night, huh? You know, Raging has been a part of the culture, you know, of your shows. You know, you didn't on this night, but in the past, you've encouraged, I guess, the kind of energy that could have led to something like this happening.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that contributed to the energy of this night?
Yeah, nah, I think, you know, it's something I've been working on, you know, for a while, of just creating these experiences and trying to show, like, the experiences happening in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, us as artists, we trust, you know, professionals to make sure that, you know, things happen and people leave, you know, safely, you know what I'm saying? And this night was just like a regular show,
mm-hmm.
you know, it felt like to me. As far as like, you know, the energy, people, it didn't feel like it was like, you know, people didn't show up there to just be harmful.
Mm-hmm.
People just, I think, showed up to have a good time, and then, you know, something unfortunate happened. And I think we really just got to figure out, you know, what that was, you know?
Does raging make it harder to identify when something is going wrong in the crowd?
Well, I think raging is just a, you know, they have a textbook, you know, definition. But, you know, in concerts, I mean, we've grown it to be just an experience of having fun. It's not about just, oh, harm. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. It's about just letting go and having fun, you know, help others, you know, love each other. It's not about just, you know, harm. It's, that's not what it's all about. The show isn't just rambunctious for an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, that's not what it is. You know?
Oh, trust me, I grew up on crunk. So, you know, I understand, you know, you just don't, you don't want it to get too out of hand.
Yeah, but you know, the the energy is high, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, and that's why you want to just make sure that, you know, people are surrounded to make sure that people are just having the best experience. You know what I'm saying? You know, I can't say the energy is high, but you know, you want to, you make sure that people are there to, for people to have like the best experience and leave.
You know? Yeah. You want people to have a good time. You don't want people to get hurt
at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, God forbid, pass away. And you know, it's typical for you to stop a show to make sure fans in the crowd get the help, you know, they need. There's even footage of that night of you doing that during the set. Were you unable to sense like a difference in urgency this time around?
I mean, yeah, because you know, you stop the show, but you know, you know, if something's gonna happen, if it's something detrimental, somebody's gonna let you know, you know, or you know, the show just stopped. And, you know, that just wasn't the case. You know, I just kind of stopped the show. You know, you just ask, you have a call and response with the fans. You try to, you know, generally get a response. But, you know, if you don't get like a
hard like stop,
you, stop, you yeah. know, it's just, you can't, you just don't, you just go off of what's going on, you know, which makes it so like, so crazy. Cause like, you know, if I feel like, if you know, anyone would have known, it would have just been like, it wouldn't have got that far, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got more with Travis Scott and Charlamagne, their one-on-one conversation, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, we're playing a one-on-one interview with Travis Scott and Charlamagne. Travis Scott and Charlamagne spoke yesterday, so we're getting that back on this morning.
Yeah, we chopped it up yesterday. You know, and you know, as you can see, if you've been listening, he's being very open about the situation, but at Astroworld in Houston, Texas, the tragedy that happened on November 5th at Astroworld in Houston, Texas. But you could see his brain, you know, going on just how to make sure this never happens again. But, you know, keep listening.
All right. And here is part two. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What headspace were you in when you posted that initial response video?
I mean, I think it had to have been the night of, you know? So I was just in a headspace of just trying to get a communication out to my fans, you know. I had little to no information, you know, so I was just trying to figure it out and just communicate to them, you know. Yeah, I was just reacting just literally just to get something to the fans, you know. It's people that showed up.
Do you regret that initial video? Do you regret reacting in that way or not, like not having all the information before you said something?
I mean, yeah, because, you know, you just don't know what's going on. But at the end of the day, I don't, you know, I just wanted to get something out. You know, how my message came out, I can't, you know, I can only go off what I, you know, what I know. But mm-hmm. my true intentions of it, you know, was really just trying to get a message across and, you know, really wanted to just touch the fans, touch the families, you know, that we here, we grieving, mm-hmm. and we'll get through this, you know, through this process.
So what did you know in that first video?
I mean, at that time, I think we just knew that, you know, people passed,
mm-hmm.
you know, we didn't know how, you know, that it was, you know, the news, you know, I think police came out and said something, you know, you're just going off of what you're seeing in the news, you know, you don't mm-hmm. really know nothing. And then as the days go on, you start collecting a little bit more information.
They said there was like chaos and trampling being reported since the early afternoon, like hours before the show even started. Were you informed of any of that ahead of time?
Well, no, like, you know, the police, he came and, to my trailer and he, you know, he congratulated me on, you know, the event and, you know, having something like this in Houston. He let me know that it was a mishap at the merch booth earlier. You know, they shut it down, but they opened it back up. They seemed to got it under control. You know, he was going to step out and just let us know if we need anything, you know, mm-hmm. have a good show. That was it.
You know, a lot of the criticism, you know, from the tragedy, they say, is in the poor planning and understaffing of the event. as an artist, do you have any involvement in any of that?
Well, I mean, we just, as an artist, you just do the creative. And for this to be my festival, you know, I got, you know, bring artists, you know, creatively produce it. And, you know, we just trust in the, you know, the professionals to kind of just make sure that, you know, people, you know, are taken care of and, you know, leaving safely. You know, I just can control what I can on the stage. And then, you know, you have the professionals control what they can in the crowd, you know. It's just hard because as an artist, you know, you want to have, like, the best shows and you want to have the best experiences and you... You know, you link with professionals to handle that side of it, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, you want to know what's going on. I think that's what we got to figure out, you know, and figure out what happened there, how it happened, you know.
You spoke on the Houston police chief. His name is Troy Finney. He came to you and he said he voiced concerns over the crowd energy. So what did you and your team like do with that information? What you got?
Well, I think that's what the media. I think that's what the media said, but I think it read to more so that he wanted us to, he knew that our crowd was, you know, the type of crowd that comes. It comes at a heavy crowd. So to communicate with him, if we were doing anything outside of the week's itinerary, you know, mm-hmm. That week we were doing like a lot of charity stuff prior to the festival. So, you know, the security at most of the events, but, you know, he was just letting us, you know, I guess in that statement, he was just saying, if we do anything outside of what we had on our itinerary, let him know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we didn't even get to that point.
You know, it's crazy just, you know, being there kicking it with you for a little bit. Like, I can see that, you know, this is weighing real heavy on you.
Yeah.
So how much do you feel a sense of responsibility for what happened that night?
Well, you know, fans come to the show and have a good experience, you know? And I have a responsibility to figure out what happened here. I have a responsibility to figure out the solution. And hopefully this takes a first step into, you know, us as artists, you know, having that more insight of what's going on. You know what I'm saying? The professionals to kind of, you know, surround and figure out more of an intel, whether it's tech, whether it's, you know, more of a response, whether it's whatever the problem is, you know, to figure out that in the future and moving forward in concert safety. Mm-hmm. Make sure it just never happened again, you know?
But let's talk about those professionals. Like, how much responsibility do you think, like, Live Nation and Scoremore, the promoters, have in all of this?
I mean, they do their job of, you know, setting these things up. So, I mean, I think they, when we dial into what, you know, specifically happened here, I feel like, you know, even they can kind of help, you know, figure out what happened in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the end of the day, I think collectively, everyone needs to just figure out the bottom line solution. But, you know, especially in concert safety, you know, definitely got to have, you know, make sure that, you know, these things are, you know, done right.
Mm-hmm. You think these festivals are too big, man? 50,000 people is a lot of people for anybody to control.
Yeah, they're festivals that are bigger, mm-hmm. you know, way bigger. And, you know, I just think it's not about the maximum of it, I think it's about the attention to what's going on, mm-hmm. And how it's going on. And as long as that's handled, I feel like, you know, things can be, you know, can go okay, will be okay, you know. But if you look at it through the history of festivals, you know, this isn't the first time happening. It's been a long history of this, you know. So I feel like if you look at the overall, you know, view of that, and you kind of like dial in, okay, what could we do better to fix this overall for general concert safety? I think we figure out the problem, you know, mm-hmm. And make it better for people to have better live experiences.
Live Nation reportedly agreed to end the concert early after the Houston PD and the fire department declared it a mass casualty event, but the concert continued for another 40 minutes. Was there ever any communication to you on stage that you should end this?
Well, yeah, I mean, they just told me right after, you know, the guests get off stage, you know, we're going to end the show, you know, and that's what we did. You know, other than that, there was no other communication, you know?
Oh, so after, you mean after the guests, what you mean?
Yeah, after the guest comes out, okay. we're going to end the show. But it wasn't a communication on why, you know, it was just, you know, that's what came through my ears, you know?
Oh, so they didn't say stop now?
No.
Wow. Do you feel like people are forcing more responsibility on you because you are the front man, because it was Astroworld?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm the face of the festival, you know, I'm an artist, you know. So, yeah, you know, the media is, you know, they want to, you know, put it on me. And but at the end of the day, it's like, I don't think it's more so about that. I think it's more so about stepping up to figure out what the problem is. And I could take that. Mm-hmm. I could take, you know, stepping up to figure out what the problem is. I could take stepping into figuring out the solution that had never happened again. Because that's what I generally want to do in general, even just for my community, you know. Mm-hmm. The whole idea for why I brought this festival to the city was to, you know, show that Houston is something different, you know, and show that there's all different types of lives, there's all different type of energy. And just bring that morale to the city, and just bring that energy to the city. So I definitely want to, you know, step in to figure out, you know, how can we fix this in the future? What can we do to, you know, change these things, you know?
Do you feel like you did everything you possibly could to help in that situation?
Yes. Yes. Anything I physically can, for sure, yes. And it just, you know, if knowing, you know, what was going on, you know, you would just wish, you know, if you, you know, could have done something better, you know, but standing there, 1,000%.
All right, we got more with Travis Scott and Charlamagne, their one-on-one conversation, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, yesterday, Charlamagne did a one-on-one interview with Travis Scott. If you just join us, we'll play the first two parts. What's your YouTube page, Charlamagne?
Yeah, it'll be up on my YouTube page shortly. My YouTube page is C to God, C-T-H-A-G-O-D. So, you know, if you're already subscribed to my YouTube page, thank you. I don't post content often, but when I do, it's things like this. So subscribe, and it should be up on my YouTube page shortly.
All right, well, let's get to part three. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You know, we know that the families of the people who passed are definitely watching this right now. And you know, there's nothing you could say to heal the trauma these families who lost loved ones are going through. But being that you know they're watching, what would you say to them directly?
I'll say to them that I'm always here, and that, you know, I'm in this with you guys, and I love you, you know, and I always, you know, be there to help you guys heal through this. And I understand that they're going through, you know, they're grieving right now and they're finding understanding right now. And, you know, it's not just like a right now thing, it's a for everything. Mm-hmm. And these people that came to the show, they are my family. And I've always had that connection to the people I feel like that listen to the music or came to my shows. And that's why I really, you know, it's really hard on me even just, you know, to even, like, you know, man, even, because, you know, they end up, they lost their loved ones, you know? Mm-hmm. So it, you know, it's tough. I just want to always just be there for them and just always just be able to just know that I'm going to fix this for the future people, you know, and fix this solution. And fix this problem, I mean, you know, and find a solution to making sure that this doesn't happen in the future, and definitely be a number one voice for this, you know. I feel like that's like one of the, what we got to figure out. Because other than that, it's like, you know, the show goes on tomorrow, or, you know, something mm-hmm. goes, how does this get fixed?
This could happen again. It's happened before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a father, you know. God forbid when your kids are of age, if they're in a situation like this, you know, I want you to put yourself in those parents' shoes right now. What would you want to see come of this situation if you?
I want to see people put their heads together. I want to see people really figure this out, not take this lightly, you know, and really act on it. And that's, you know, that's one of the main things that's important. I feel like they gotta just act on it. It can't just be like something that happens and it just roll over. Mm-hmm. It gotta be something that's taken serious and addressed seriously, and things formed around it. Time and a lot of time and a lot of, you know, thinking power spent on this, you know, and really fixing, you know, whatever system that needs to be fixed, you know.
From the lawsuits to the media coverage, do you feel like you're personally under attack?
I mean, you see a name in it, and it's like, but you know, at the end of the day, you step in these, you know, you step and you want to do a festival, and you know, when you want to do things and you want to build up, you know, it comes with certain things, right? So I think it's all about how you respond to it, and I think it's all about how you react, right? So mm-hmm. I could feel that way, but I think more so about, it's more about how I feel about the response that I care about more so, which is, you know, actually, you know, trying to step in and, you know, really step up to really fixing what's happening and really step up for the safety of concert goers or people mm-hmm. in just live spaces, period.
I wonder, is there a way to even prepare for this? Because nobody, like you said, when you're doing the planning for a show like this, nobody is planning for this to happen. So how do you even prepare for something like this to happen?
I don't know. And I feel like when it comes out a little bit more how this could have happened, I feel like that's how we can kind of attack that. But even I was thinking of ways like tech solutions. You know, people come into these festivals with these bands that only scan you in, mm-hmm. right? You have all type of tech now that can track your heart, can track your, you know, oxygen levels, can track if you're going to be sick. You can put things now if you're going to be, you know, get lost. It's all type of ways now. I feel like that can be the band that only gets you access to entry or to a food line or to food trucks can now be soluble to helping save lives, you know, mm-hmm. Can now be more of a response to people that are now on site and on ground. I feel like that could be a way, or, you know, even just figuring out what the exact solution, what the exact problem of it was. And dialing more into that, I think you can kind of, I feel like there is a way. I just think it needs to be time spent on figuring that out.
Have you been able to have any personal conversations with any of the families who lost loved ones?
I was able to, but, you know, I just want to just respect that, you know, the privacy of the conversation. And mm-hmm. I'm thankful for them for even allowing me to have the conversation. So, yeah.
How did you feel when some of the families rejected your offer to pay for the funerals?
All things are understandable, and you know, at a time they're grieving and they're trying to find understanding, and you know, they want answers. And it's not about that, you know. I'm always going to be here, you know, to want to help them. You know what I'm saying? And it's not going to you know, I got to continue to just show up for that. You know, I just wanted to make sure that they knew that I was there for them. You know what I mean? And continue to be there for them. I think that's just more so what it's about for that. Yeah.
Some people say your music played a role in this. Like I've seen them, you know, cite lyrics, you know, that encourage this kind of behavior. I've seen them say your music is demonic and this was a satanic ritual. Do you think your music is to blame?
I mean, no. One, I'm a man of God. So that's the first thing first. And, you know, so it's just... Yeah, that's that. And, you know, your music is just like self-expression, you know what I'm saying? And at these shows, I feel like people kind of like look at things. And if you've been to a Travis show, it's been different layers of shows, you know? Mm-hmm. I think people are just, you know, misconceptions and taking things they're seeing and, you know, all type of things, you know? And I've took pride in trying to, you know, grow from where I was when I first recorded music to now where I'm going in music. So yeah, I just think people gotta, and that's one thing with me, is just got, people gotta kind of, you know, experience it sometimes. And I think that's what it was. You know, people mm-hmm. were kind of like, even before, people were hearing about it, they come and experience it and taking away their own thing. And it's always gonna be an outside opinion. But, you know, for the ones that, you know, really believe in me and, you know, understand what you know, what I'm about and what I'm doing, no, that's not what I'm, you know, preaching. I always preach like love, always preach understanding, always preach, you know, take care of your loved ones, love each other, you know what I'm saying? Get out your ideas, never let yourselves be stopped, you know? Love one another and step into that, you know?
I mean, I think that's a part of it, but the music does encourage people to be violent at these shows.
I mean,
that's what the rage is about.
I mean, most of the music is me sometimes talking about what I see at the shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If I'm talking about the shows, you know? And so it's just, that's just, you know, the energy, you know what I'm saying? But the energy isn't to come and start, you know, being ultra violent and just being violent and hurting each other. That's not what it's about.
All right, that's part three of the conversation, the one-on-one conversation with Charlamagne and Travis Scott. Now, don't move. We got more coming up. All right? Usually we do rumors, but this is more important this morning. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, we're playing back Charlamagne's one-on-one conversation with Travis Scott.
Yeah, I sat down with Travis Scott to, you know, discuss the tragedy that happened on November 5th at Astroworld in Houston, Texas. You know, clearly not an easy conversation. And, you know, he wants to discuss how he can help make sure this never happens again, which he doesn't even know what that looks like yet. But here's the conversation.
Right, and we'll take some calls after this. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Here's part four.
You said you're a man of God, and when I even said that, you know, they say your music is satanic, I saw the face that you made. Where do you think that even comes from? Travis Scott is satanic. Travis Scott is
demonic. I just think it's just things people collect, you know? People look at the internet, and they just collect, and they look at things, and they look at visuals, and, you know, we have all these theorists, and people just thinking, they're looking at visuals and don't understand, you know, just the idea of like what art may be or what you're trying to do. You know, they're just making up your own message, especially when you're not out there like yelling the message all the time. You know, it's just, yeah.
And when they say, this is a community event, Astroworld.
Yeah, it's a,
so they say a community event is a satanic ritual. How does that
Yeah, that's like, feel? It's crazy because, you know, it's like, I do this for people to have a good time. You know, we have rides, we have games, you know, it's things for people to get off creative experiences. It's not, you know, the show is at the end of the day, you know, it's like, you know, and that show is just something based on what's, you know, just things, you know, it's not like, what, like, why would we wake up one day and just trying to, this is just, that's just, evil is not what we are part of. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to be a part of that. We're trying to be a part of joy, trying to be a part of light, trying to be a part of full-blown happiness, love, you know, understanding, people taking care of each other, you know, community, people to leave from these experiences and want to go out and do good. That's literally what we want. You know, we want to show them these things, you know, we put everything into the, you know, this is, you know, this festival, you know, this is our third year, you know, so we try to put, you know, we every year we put everything into the festival so people can enjoy it. You know, it's not about even just come perform. Mm-hmm. That, not that, you know, it's things for them to do all day. Mm-hmm. And different artists for them to experience too.
Mm-hmm. Have the trauma of this tragedy impacted your desire to perform in the future?
I've always seen performances of art of healing for me. That's why I've always been so into it. I don't know if you looked at like some of the growth from where I've tried to take performance. I've always tried to, I feel like it's the art of healing. I feel like it's a moment where people have a mutual understanding, you know, and I feel like the first things first before anything is that we address, you know, a lot of safety concerns. I think mm-hmm. the first things first is that, because not even just for me, you don't want other, you know, artists to have to go and take a part of that trauma, take a part of that experience, take a part of that, you know, that fear. You don't want concert mm-hmm. goers to still be a part of that fear. You want them to feel safe. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's just the first things first. And I think once we take major steps into moving in that direction, you know, I feel like, you know, it could be cool for people to practice that healing again, you mm-hmm. know, and understand that. I don't think people should run away from it and shy away from it. I think, you know, it's a form of healing, you know?
You know, no matter what you do at any of your shows in the future, regardless of how much security, how much safety you put in place, you cannot control human behavior.
Yeah.
You can't control 40, 50,000 people doing whatever it is that they do. Does that scare you?
I mean, yeah, but you know, you also put trust in the fans too to, you mm-hmm. know, just have a good time. You know, you just reinstill that and, you know, you continue to practice, you know, when you're on stage to just remind them, you know, and even when they're there to just constantly have messages to remind them like, yo, look, you're here to have a good time. We're not here. If you see somebody, you know, help another, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's just continue to reinstill that message. I think help that mindset. So
Astroworld was one of, you know, several ways you gave back to Houston. Do you think you've, you know, lost that privilege to do that?
To be honest, I haven't really like thought about that because I've just been thinking about just community healing mm-hmm. and, you know, the family's healing and, you know, all those things kind of building back up.
That could take forever though. That, you know, I don't know if you ever truly heal from these type of situations.
Yeah. And, you know, but, you know, through these things, you know, like I say, music is part of healing. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I just don't think, you know, a Travis Scott show or, you know, an Astroworld show, you know, wasn't the bottom line factor of what happened here, you know? And I think we just got to figure out what that was, what happened. Mm-hmm. But, you know, having a Travis Scott show, you know, we've done shows, you know, all over. That wasn't the, you know, what happened here, you know, something that happened here, you mm-hmm. know? And that's why we want to fix it, because it can happen anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I think once we get further along in that, I think, you know, it'd be a little bit more receptive, I feel.
Does it make you feel judged when you see videos, you know, circulating of other artists stopping their shows, like the check on fans since Astroworld? Because it's almost like the insinuation from other artists is that, like, you didn't do enough, so we don't want to be like Travis.
I take it as, you know, they're just taking extra precautions, you know, because it might not have been something that, you know, was running through their mind at a time before. And they're just taking extra precautions to, you know, make sure they don't run through the same problems. Mm-hmm. And I can commend them for that. You know, I've always done the same thing, you know, in my prior shows and at this show. So, I feel them, you know. I just think it's been a little bit more, people are more capturing it now, like, because of what's going on. I think that's just how the media works.
If the families of the victims never forgive you, will you ever be able to forgive yourself? Can you live with that?
Nah, it's tough. You know, it's real tough. Because I want them to really know that my intentions wasn't to harm their family at all. It's for them to come to have a good experience. I've always feel like I have a connection with my fans, you know, through the music. I feel like when they come to see me, it's not just like, oh, they're coming, it's like a connection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes not knowing, you know, people not understanding like artists and where we come from, it can be a disconnect. And, you know, I would love to, you know, instead of understanding, you know, for them to truly know where my heart's from, you know, it didn't come for them for me to harm. And it wasn't about a show to keep, you know, at all. You know, mm-hmm. it's about for them to have, you know, one of the, you know, a very good time. And it's just tragic that it didn't turn out that way, you know.
So I guess my final question, man, who does Travis Scott ultimately, I guess, think is responsible for this tragedy?
You know, something tragic happened here. Well, what I've just been trying to, you know, get to the bottom of is just what happened here, how it happened here. And I think the families are owed, you know, that. I feel like, you know, the community is owed that. I feel like we're owed that to just know what happened here. I don't want to just speak too soon. I just want to figure out, you know, what happened, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know they're going to pick this interview apart. So is there anything you want to say to your fans, to the family of people who lost loved ones, you know, before we get out of here?
I mean, I want everyone to just continue praying for the fans. I want people to continue praying for the fans that was lost. Mm-hmm. You know, I want people to continue praying for the families. I want people to continue just reaching out for healing. I think the more we try to, you know, continue to let people grieve and continue to be there for people and, you know, check in on people and, you know, check in on your loved ones and just, you know, that, you know, I think that's just like one of the most important things, and, you know, staying strong through this while we, you know, figure out what's going on, you know, and bring understanding to these families and to the community.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to send healing energy to everybody involved, the families, exactly, you know, those who were lost, yourself, because nobody wants tragedies like this to happen.
Yeah, so, not at all.
So preventing them moving forward is the only thing we can do.
Yeah.
Appreciate you,
thank
brother.
You, man.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, man.
Absolutely.
Sure.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy. For nearly 60 years of quality coverage, make the right call and go with The General. Call 800-GENERAL or go to thegeneral.com to get a hassle-free quote today. The General Auto Insurance Services, Inc., an insurance agency, Nashville, Tennessee. Some restrictions apply. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, this is usually where we do Donkey of the Day, but we're pushing that back today because yesterday, Charlamagne got an opportunity to kick it with Travis Scott.
Yeah, you just heard some of it. I think we might have aired like 20 minutes of it. The full conversation is up on my YouTube page right now, at C to God, C-T-H-A-G-O-D. It's about 50 minutes long in total.
So let me ask you a question. Yeah, I heard some of
yes.
it. But so first... Mm-hmm. Who reached out and why did he decide to have this conversation? Because most people would be like, well, you know, should he have a conversation or should he, you know, because it's an ongoing court case.
I mean, there's people who reached out, you know, there's people who reached out to me, you know, told me he wanted to have a conversation, asked me if I wanted to sit down with him. Mm-hmm. I'm like, sure, you know, I think it was a tragic situation. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, even after sitting down with him, I think what I always thought, you know, it was a tragedy of epic proportions. And
correct.
I don't know if there's one person to blame in a situation like this. Like many, many, many things have to go wrong for something like this to happen. And when you're dealing with these kind of events, you know, the one thing you're relying on the most to keep people safe is human behavior. And honestly, you know, even in the future, I don't know how you control human behavior when you're dealing with, you know, these types of large crowds. So... Oh. You know, I think he's got a lot of personal remorse, but as I told him in the conversation, there's absolutely nothing you could say to heal the trauma these families who lost loved ones are going through. But he conveyed his emotions and, you know, what he wants to do moving forward the best he could, so.
All right, well.
I don't know.
Let's take your phone calls. You guys heard the interview. What are your thoughts? 800-585-1051. Let's talk about it as a community, all right? I know we're on in Houston, so we would love to hear from you guys as well. But call us up, 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Those goosebumps
every time. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we played the one-on-one conversation with Travis Scott and Charlamagne, and he talked about a lot. He talked about Astro Festival and what went down and his feelings and what he wants to do moving on, but we want to take some calls from you. So 800-585-1051. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this Ghost, man.
Ghost, what's up, bro? What are your thoughts after hearing that interview?
Peace, Ghost.
Yeah, man. What up, y'all guys? Trav, I know Trav. You know, I went by his house after the incident. And as far as the interview is concerned, I understand because as an artist, we know the process. We know how promoters and other people are involved. We know where the liability lies. We know that basically we are almost a hired performer. So Trav, I feel, was very transparent, and he did what nobody expected him to do and probably most people wouldn't have wanted him to do, which is talk right now. You know, but I think it was a good interview based
they
on what
they definitely didn't
heard.
Want him to.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I'm telling you. Like I said, I went by his house about a week after that, man. He just was standing there looking like, you know, wow, you know, what's happening here? But I'm
how do you know Travis Scott? Wait a minute. Ghost, how are you able just to go by Travis Scott's house?
I live in Houston, bro. Huh? I'm a music producer.
Oh, got you.
I live in the city. So, you know, I'm not one of them cats that everybody know about, but behind the scenes, I do what I do, you know.
Well, thank you for calling, brother.
Word.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Gia. How are you?
Hey, Gia, how are you?
I'm good.
Just going to steal my wife's name, huh?
So funny. My name is Gia Marie, and when I listen to you guys and you say Gia, it's like an eerie moment. Like, he's, oh my gosh, because, like, you know, it's not a common name.
Correct.
But I wanted to, I live in Houston. I've been here for 12 years now, and I just, you know, after hearing about the tragedy, I wanted to dissect it. At first, I wanted to understand where Travis is coming from. It's very challenging, especially when someone's sitting in front of you asking questions, right? For you to really get in touch with all of your emotions, to have the correct words to make people feel at ease or to so that they know you're incorporating emotional intelligence or just so many emotions that he's feeling right now. I think that he did a really good job in expressing himself in the moment. Probably after the interview, he thought of saying a lot of things more, as we all do. But in speaking of the tragedy, Charlamagne hit it. You know, there's so many variables. You really can't pinpoint anything. So many things went wrong, from the people that went to the performers, and it's a teaching moment. Now, we all want to be proactive as opposed to reactive, and as humans, that's not always the case. I believe that going forward, it will create the
this is something that will be a teachable moment, as I stated, and going forward, they will try to look at other things. But I do want to say something lastly. I have one kid at home, you know, my last kid that's going to go through college, and she loves Travis Scott, right? And she wanted to go to the concert. So as a parent, I'm not putting any other parent down. I know there was an 8-year-old at the. I can't tell any parent what to do. All I ask is that going forward, you understand the type of concert that he gives. Do your research. It's upbeat tempo throughout the entire concert. He doesn't have someone in the middle of the concert come sing a ballad, right? To minimize the energy. That doesn't happen. It's upbeat tempo. There's fire going. Everyone's emotions are going. You have to take into consideration. Is someone popping a molly before they go? What is going to be the interaction? I also took in consideration, okay, let's see the venue. How much many does the venue hold? They're not going to have seats. They're going to be standing up when they said that the venue was sold out. To me, that meant it was oversold, right? So I took all of that, and I told my daughter, you can't go. I just don't think it's a situation where if something happens, I'm going to be very concerned. And that's what you have to think about. I'm not saying that you take those variables and say, hey, don't go to his concert, because he's not always sold out. The venue may be bigger. It may be a different dynamic. I don't know. But you have to consider that when you let your young person go, who's in high school or younger than that, you have to do things differently. Make better decisions when it comes to those young people. Not tarnishing any parent. I'm just saying that's the choice that I made when it came to my daughter wanting to go to the concert. And the other thing is in being proactive. Lastly, one of the parents who was at the hotel across the street, he said he told his son, when you go on the concert, you know, the Bible says, peace be still. When you go on the concert and things start going awry, find you a place somewhere and just sit. Now, that young man sit for 2 hours until he was able to walk outside. Now, panic is an emotion. If it wasn't a spontaneous emotion, it wouldn't be in the dictionary, right? We know that when you panic, you're not thinking clearly, you're acting irrationally, and things can happen as a result of that. So there's a lot of panic and paranoia. All of that happened. We know that. But I do believe also.
Yeah, and I'm with you. It's easy to say all of that.
There's a lot of people on the line, too.
Though.
Thank you, Mama.
You're dealing with young kids, man.
And we'll take some more calls. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we played a interview, a one-on-one conversation with Charlamagne and Travis Scott. And we're just taking your calls, getting your feedback on it and what you guys' thoughts. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hey, man, it's Steven.
Hey, what's up, Steven? What were your thoughts, brother?
Man, so first of all, I got to say, I love listening to y'all. My girlfriend and I, we enjoy listening to y'all every single morning. But I just want to say that real quick. So, I mean, but I sat there and I listened to the whole thing, man. And I've been listening to it since, like, it first happened. And it just listened to Charlamagne's conversation where he just, I know it's hard to convey true feelings with something like that. But it just didn't sound like true, genuine. Like, he was beating around the bush with a lot of answers. I felt like he was avoiding some questions, and there were a lot of times where he just kept kind of repeating the same thing for different questions, and you don't want to take full responsibility for something like this. No one does. But common sense as an adult, you know what I'm saying, we know true right from wrong. We know when we have a certain level of responsibility for something that has occurred. Even if you don't say, yeah, I take full responsibility, you can simply acknowledge the fact that, yeah, I feel like there was something that I could have done. Because, no, you can't control that many people. But you have to understand that you are the center of attention. People are going to follow the energy that you are putting off. So even if you're talking about the energy.
You don't think he expressed that, though?
I feel like he did, but he didn't. Like, even when you ask him, like, don't you think that your music itself kind of gives this message, like, it incites this type of behavior, and he says no. But when you look at the lyrics and his past concerts, like, this is the first one that this right here is having specifically all these deaths, but it's not the first one where there was an overcrowd of people and the crowd was just, you know, not able to be contained. And yeah, there are concerts that are a lot bigger than his, but I'm more than sure that those can be delegated. And, you know, just kind of, it can be managed. Anyone can manage it. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like a lot of it was he was just beating around the bush for a lot of things.
Well, thank you for your opinion. We got a lot of people on the line. We got a lot of people to get to, but thank you so much, brother. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Remy from Houston.
Hey, Remy, what are your thoughts, mama?
I would say as a person who was at the concert, I forgive Travis with my whole heart. Being there, we had no clue that people around us were dying. And, you know, like leaving the concert, I had survivor's remorse because I felt so bad that I had a good time. Mm. And people, like these babies around me, were dying. And so, you know, like as a community, I think that this is going to strengthen us. But Travis should not be solely at fault because, like, it was wild out there. It was crazy. And at some point, you know, like, you have to be responsible for yourself. And these kids, they were out of control. That's all I have to say, you know. And, like, we were in the center of the crowd. And it was like, okay, we got to get out. Like, this is like we formed a human chain to get out because I knew I felt imminent danger. So, you know, it's about self-responsibility, self-control. And, you know, my heart and prayers go out to the family and just to the Houston community as a whole.
Thank you so much.
Damn.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, Nicole.
Nicole, what were your thoughts?
So, I mean, I feel like that we should not be putting all the blame on Travis Scott. I mean, as an artist, there's only so much that he can do in that situation, and I get that he's the face and the image of it for it, but there's only so much that we can blame him for. But one thing I'm really concerned about is the narrative around his music being demonic or these events being satanic. The whole, you know, premises of doing rage music, that him, Uzi, XXXTentacion, Juice WRLD, it was about therapy. It was about getting out certain emotions that they weren't allowed to get out in the natural public in the world. So they come to these events, they come to these festivals, they yell, they scream, they cry, they wail their arms. But it's never an event to promote, hey, go punch this person, go fight, let's go do this. It's really a rage of getting out emotions. And if you go through therapy, which Travis Scott does, he'll tell you themselves, you know, they'll say, get out those emotions, be vocal, give it sound, and that's what that whole rage concept is about. So this whole narrative that it's demonic or satanic when it's actually the complete opposite. And I feel like that's kind of making this situation way worse from him when you have people saying, oh, it's an Illuminati, he was, you know, killing off people, right. Or it's none of that at all. I think we have to be realistic.
How old are you, Queen, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 30.
Because, hey, you know, I grew up, you know, of course there was heavy metal and rock and roll, but I grew up on crunk, you know, with 3-6 Mafia and Little John. I do remember people saying, you know, that about 3-6 Mafia. I think it was more so because of their name, the 3-6s.
Yep.
But to your point, yeah, that's the kind of music and energy we grew up on. We didn't label it demonic and satanic, though. Maybe the adults around us did. I don't know. That's why I wanted to ask you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling, mama.
Emo music. I mean, it's hip-hop emo, if anything. I mean, it's the emotional, it's a way for these young black men to get out certain emotions and feelings. It's the same with drill music. It's all the same. But we can't place that blame on Travis at all.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. All right. Well, if you want to see the full interview, you can check that out on, what's your YouTube page, Charlamagne?
At C to God, C-T-H-A-G-O-D. And, you know, once again, sending definite healing energy and condolences to the family who lost, you know, loved ones on November 5th at Astroworld. But yeah. I think Travis expressed himself the best way he could, you know, due to the circumstances of the situation.
All right. And shout out to everybody. I mean, there was so many people on the line, and we had to cut a lot of people off because so many people wanted to talk. We just appreciate you guys for checking in, especially for people that actually went to the show that have to relive this over and over and over again every time somebody talks about it. So just want to say thankful, and we're grateful that you guys checked in. All right. Now, coming up next, we got your rumor
report. I'm sure the conversation will keep going. It's already going on social media. So, you know, we're here the rest of the week.
That's right. All right, when we come back, we got your rumor report. Kanye and Drake, they have a show tonight. We'll give you some updates on that, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Four.
I know you've all heard about the Ye and Drake benefit concert in L.A. tonight. But also, Prime Video and Amazon Music will exclusively live stream the show. You can start the live stream at midnight for free on Prime Video or Amazon Music. Ye has dedicated the benefit concert to raising awareness of the need for prison and sentencing reform, with a portion of the proceeds going to a nonprofit advocates. The two-hour performance, hashtag Free Larry Hoover Benefit Concert, will also be available on demand on Prime Video following the live stream event. Watch tonight on Prime Video.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On the Breakfast Club. So listen up.
Now, Kanye and Drake's Free Larry Hoover concert is tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific, which is 11 p.m. Eastern time. Now, the reportedly, they're spending $10 million on their budget. Now, this $10 million is going to handle production costs, stage construction, event staff, security, and more. They said Ye and Drake have been reportedly rehearsing at an off-site location. So they've been practicing. They've been taking it serious.
Yeah, I would think a lot of that budget will go to security at a time like this. You know what I mean? Especially since, if I'm not mistaken, Drake's last show was Astroworld, right?
Yeah,
I mean, just, you know, because a concert of this magnitude with Drake, Kanye, is probably going to be a lot of people in the venue, a lot of people outside the venue. You got to make sure that whole scene is absolutely secure.
Right. Absolutely right. Now, Ye is partnered with Amazon Music, and the fans will have the opportunity to stream the concert for free tonight through Prime. It will be shown at select IMAX theaters across the United States as well, which is pretty dope. Now, also, Tory Lanez, he was performing, and somebody started fighting, and he stopped his show and tried to get them to stop fighting, and he did it in an unusual way.
Tell my man right there, no fighting, look, man. Come on. No f***ing fighting. I'm already dealing with it, no f***ing. I ain't dealing with that f***ing. I ain't trying to catch another case in this bitch. Just chill, no fighting.
So I guess they did stop fighting.
Talented.
Very talented.
Tory Lanez is a talented young man.
Absolutely. And shout out to Tory Lanez. He's going to have some of his cars at my car show over the weekend, by the way, too. And Tyler, the Creator, he launches his own fragrance line. Do you know what it smells like, Charlamagne? What would you guess it smells like?
I have no idea.
Well, it's a layered scent.
I have no idea.
It's a layered scent made up of an aroma cocktail containing musk, sandalwood for the base with elements of mandarin, nashi pear, lychee, mimosa, jasmine, rose, all mixed together.
I have no idea what any of those things smell like individually. I don't even know what 90% of the stuff you said smell like. You said musk, and I was like, why would somebody want to smell like musk?
I don't know.
Musk, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's M-U-S-K, not M-U-S-T.
Yo, M-U-S-K, musk.
Is it musk or musk? When somebody say you musty, is it musty or musky? Which one is it?
I know we say musty, but I thought it was musky.
Boy, you musky, innit?
Yeah, but I thought that was stink. I don't know.
Boy, you musky, innit?
Or is it boy, you musty?
Oh, it's musty.
It's musty.
No, it's musty.
It's musty.
M-U-S-T-Y.
All right. Well, and lastly, Nori, N-O-R-E, of course, he's about to drop this interview with Alicia Keys. He speaks to Alicia Keys about who would be another versus if she wanted to do it.
Who would you want to battle?
Who y'all think I should be when I'm...
Ooh.
Who? Wow.
Sade?
Sade.
But Erykah Badu did Jill Scott, which was one of my favorites.
Beyonce. Beyonce.
You said that, Charlie?
Beyonce or Rihanna? Or Rihanna. That's hard.
That's a good one.
That's hard.
That's a good one. All right. I like that. Me, B, or Re? Y'all for free.
Yeah.
I love it. So, I mean, I would love to see that again. Would you?
Alicia Keys versus Beyonce or Rihanna? I don't know if I want to see that. I don't know if I would want to see Alicia Keys versus Beyonce or Rihanna. I'm not sure. I don't think so. I'd rather see Beyonce versus Rihanna.
Yeah, or Beyonce versus Mariah.
Beyonce versus Mariah. That's interesting. I think Beyonce will take Mariah. Mariah got more number ones, but Beyonce got more cultural smashes.
Anthems, absolutely.
I personally think. Yeah.
All right.
And that's what works in verses. In verses, it's about those cultural records.
Correct. All right. Well, that is your rumor report. I just want to shout out to everybody again. Yesterday, I announced that me and my wife wrote a book during the pandemic, and the book is coming out next year. And the pre-orders, you can start now. You can pre-order on Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, Abram Books, or anywhere you buy your books. And the feedback has been amazing. I love your support. Thank you so much. Of course, it's a relationship book. Me and my wife been together 27 years. We've been married 20. We've been through everything you could possibly imagine. Trials, tribulations, insecurities, forgiveness, cheating, everything that you could possibly imagine we've been through, and we detail it. We talk about it, how we got through it, how we getting through it now, and all the things that we're dealing with, raising kids and all that. So if you haven't got a chance, please pre-order the book, and I can't wait for you guys to read it. Charlamagne actually did a blurb in the book where he talks about black love and some of the things that he sees with Gia and myself. So I appreciate you for doing that.
Did you keep our relationship, the stuff what? I said about us in the book?
What you mean?
And how would we do with each other keeps it spicy for both our marriages? I didn't say that.
Shut up. All right. Well, up next is the People's Choice Mix. You could get your request.
I'm assuming you took all that out.
Let me know what you want to hear. And don't forget, the car show this Sunday is the last car show of the year. If you haven't got your tickets, get your tickets. Celebrity cars from Khaled, Nori, Trina, Flo Rida, Dwayne Wade, 50 Cent, and more. Nicki Jam, Prince Royce. There's so many different people bringing cars. I can't wait for you guys to see it. And the mix is up next. Let's go.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Novartis created the More Than Just Words initiative to raise awareness about racial disparities in breast cancer care. To learn more about what More Than Just Words hopes to accomplish and hear a talk with Grammy-nominated R&B artist Jasmine Sullivan, visit morethanjustwords.us.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. I just want to shout out to all of you guys out there. Yesterday, I announced that you can pre-order my book. Me and my wife wrote a book during the pandemic, and you can pre-order that right now. It's called Real Life, Real Love, all right? And we talk about everything, just us being in a relationship. We've been together 27 years. We've been married 20, the ups, the downs, us constantly working on our marriage, from insecurities to cheating to forgiveness to how we deal with everything we've been through. So I appreciate you guys. I mean, the pre-orders have been amazing. The book company's happy. I was surprised, but I just want to say thank you. Charlamagne has a little part in the book too.
What did I know I did something. I talked about how I see y'all as a couple.
Correct. Yep.
And sure, and did. You know how she allows us to have our relationship.
You know what I mean?
And it keeps everything.
You played.
Oh, that didn't make the book?
No, I didn't know. That didn't make the book, man. We don't have no relationship
stopping,
man. Oh,
okay.
Because people will believe that. They'd be like,
So we're going to do our own book.
Yo, shut this. Up, man. No, what's the book going to be called?
What?
What's it going to call? Butt Love? What are we going to call our book?
Wow. I was thinking more like ass. Just like ass with exclamation mark, ass, exclamation mark, ass, exclamation mark.
Stupid. See, you don't see what
you're doing. Oh, no. Our book is called Ass C&E.
Ass C&E. Oh, you stupid, man. Goodness gracious. All right. When we come back, we got the positive note. But again, thank you guys for pre-ordering my book. If you haven't got it, you can pre-order on Barnes & Noble's, Abram Books, Amazon. Definitely. Anywhere you purchase books, and we appreciate you guys. It's something good for the culture. So if you're having problems in your relationship and you're saying, damn, how did somebody else get through it? My way might not be your way, but it's a guide to maybe help you out. So definitely check it out. All right. When we come back, positive notice, The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne, your late night show Friday. Who you got as a guest? Anybody this week?
Yes. This Friday at 10 p.m. on Comedy Central, we have Miss Chloe Bailey, okay. My cousin. Mm-hmm. She'll be joining us this Friday on The God's Honest Truth at 10 p.m. on Comedy Central. And you can stream all episodes of The God's Honest Truth on Paramount Plus. But also, too, man, you know, continue to go watch the Travis Scott interview. I really would, you know, like to know your thoughts on just the conversation. That's all.
Absolutely.
So it's available on my YouTube page at C to God, CTHAGOD.
All right. Now, you got a positive note?
Yeah, my positive note is simple. Don't be so quick to point out the flaws in other people's lives when you are not willing to look at the flaws in your own.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.